Hey friends, welcome back to the Sisterhood Tea Party podcast, where we talk about growth, real life, and showing up for yourself and others in the ways that actually matter.
Today's episode is all about friendship, not just brunch and bestie vibes, but the behind the scenes emotional labor that no one talks about. We're calling it the friendship workload.
Because let's be real, friendship can be a full-time job sometimes. Texts to return, plans to make, emotional support to give. And when we're also working, dating, healing, and growing, it can feel like a lot.
We're diving into what it really means to be a good friend without overcommitting, how to set boundaries, and how to give yourself permission to shift how you show up without guilt. But before we get into that, Steph, what's been top of mind for you this week?
Oh girl, Love Island USA is what's top of mind for me. It just started, okay, by the time this episode drops, we'll be like a month into it at this point. But do we drop spoilers now? Because I mean, it's only right now we're only two episodes in. There's one coming out tonight as we're recording. Since you and I have already watched it, I don't think at this point it's not even a spoiler because it's already out. So
it's gonna be a month ahead, like a month ago, later by the time this episode drops. So we're exactly. Two episodes. If you haven't seen the first two episodes, fast forward like 5 minutes to miss these spoilers. I say we go
exactly.
For it.
But otherwise, I feel like everybody's going to be caught up. Anyway, so there's been drama coming out about some of the Love Island cast prior to it filming, or essentially having all the episodes out. Ulyssa came out as a, not only racist, but a staunch Trump supporter, going on here being like, Latinas for Trump, da-da-da. And then going on a podcast using the N-word multiple times in a row. And she's completely unapologetic. And it's like, all right, you've now messed with the Love Island crew. There's a lot of loyal watchers out there. We're going to vote her off before the first episode. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, they kicked her out the island sometime in episode two. She's just gone, okay? And I'm watching this. I have no idea. And it wasn't until they got to the fire pit to decide who was, like, the recoupling, essentially, that they mentioned, Ace, you're single, come up to the front. And I'm like, huh? What do you mean he's single? I had to rewind it and go back and figure out, when did this happen? I'm looking through and she's straightening her hair. Ulyssa's straightening her hair. And then after that scene, it cuts to commercial. You come back and the announcer's like, Ulyssa has left the villa or has exited the villa. And I'm sitting there like, okay, we didn't have to vote her off, which is amazing. She had what was coming to her. I don't know what she expected. You know, when things are coming out on social media and the way that this show works, the producers got wind and they were probably like, we can't have this happen. So you're gone. And what's funny to me is the way that they did it, I'm assuming, is that they had to wake her up in the middle of the night. Hey, Ulyssa, get up. You have 30 minutes.
If all the other cast members know the why. Because, I'm sure. I mean, she was...
Or maybe they don't.
Well, she was coupled up with a black man, first of all, right? And, like, many of the people on the cast are black. So for her to have been saying the things that she was, it's just like, yeah, I want to know if they know. And if not, then when new people come in the villa, if they will tell them so that they find out the why.
Right, because when they come in, they're aware of what's happening in real time.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because in my head, I'm thinking producers probably told them a story and told them to keep quiet because there is no mention of her after she's gone. They just don't discuss it. So I'm very curious to see how the rest of the episodes play out. So tonight will be interesting for sure. Because did you see the preview that just came out for the third episode? More tears, you know,
I saw like the preview where it showed, is that Hoda? She was like, crying and she said something about have a conversation with me or something, which I thought maybe was something about the weirdness that happened at the fire pit when she was like, you deserve better. And the other girl was like, no, you've been supportive, but I'll talk to you later. And she seemed irritated. And I was like, woo, that something's going on there.
So yes. And I bet they've already resolved it by now because we're watching this behind. But my take on that is I'm in Alandria's court. I understand where she's coming from. They are 24 hours in. And yes, these men are getting up. First of all, the men ain't shit on this show so far. They're getting up to have a chance to meet with Sierra. And Hoda's over here, my man, with a man that is gaslighting her and love bombing her. I said it.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, these are little boys, da-da-da. You guys deserve better men. And that's why Alandria was like, hey, girl, I see your support. I appreciate it, but let's relax and talk about this later.
Yeah.
Because it's not that serious.
No.
Nobody's closed off. So while, yes, she appreciated her support, what she was doing is too much.
The escalating the drama of the moment when it didn't need to be escalated anymore is what it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. And what's pissing me off is that a lot of these Love Island fans are so annoying when it comes to stuff like this, because they're over here saying that Alandria was screaming at her and yelling at her and being aggressive. When did we watch the same clip?
No, I didn't feel like
because
she was.
I guarantee you, if that was flipped, y'all would have never said that, and you would have said that, oh, well, she was just defending herself.
Yeah,
you would have said it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
We know
so
that.
Anyway, we know exactly why. That's the tea right now. Only two episodes in. The third one comes out tonight, so that is what I will be doing before I go to sleep tonight.
Same, same. I will say I trust no man, because last season, Aaron duped me hard. Aaron duped me harder than I feel like I've been off the dating scene for a very long time, folks. Okay. I'm perhaps naive out there. And the way that I just thought him and Kayla were so perfect, and then Casa Amore happened, and I was so shocked that now I trust no man. So yeah, that I don't remember his name that's with Huda, but I don't trust him.
Jeremiah.
I'm like, you're Aaron in disguise. This is the same thing is about to go down. I don't trust it. And he's a little controlling too. And I don't really like that. That gives me the ick too, but nope.
I was just about to say, Shelly called that out to Huda and was like, don't you think the way he's responding to you is scary? And she's like, no, like, I like when my men are obsessed with me. It's fine. And Shelly's looking at her like, okay. So those are my girls, Alandria and Shelly.
Like, I like them.
They're clocking the tea left and right. I was like, those are my girls right now. So
yay. Okay. Yes. Well,
but what about you? What's going on?
Okay. So mine, also a pop culture related top of mind for me, is the Skims nipple piercing bra. Okay.
Wait, hold on. In our early podcast days.
Different bra.
The Skims. It's a different bra.
So before we discussed the Skims nipple bra, different.
Yes.
Now this is the nipple piercing bra. So it looks like a piercing on the nipple. And okay, let me just say, I love when a girl shows a little nipple piercing through her shirt. Okay, it is hot. It's giving Rihanna. It's giving gorgeous. You can't fake that. I'm so sorry. Okay. Do you know how painful it is to have a nipple piercing? Do you know how painful it is?
I don't. But I
do.
Bet it is.
I do. It hurts. Like a mother. So do not fake that, because that is a painful experience. And if you want to look that hot, you have to go through the pain. I'm sorry. You have to go through the pain. You can't fake that. That pisses me off. Don't steal my culture. Don't do it.
Whoa.
You can't make a dupe of that. So that's how I feel about that. You cannot fake it.
When did they announce this?
I don't know. A couple weeks ago, probably now, because I've been stewing on this for a while. But I'm just like,
ooh.
Don't do it. It's not fair. I get it. You want to fake a nipple.
Yeah.
I still don't get that one, honestly. But a nipple piercing? No, it's giving. It's giving. You know how when people wear sleeves that look like tattoos, but they're fake tattoos? That's what it reminds me of. I'm like, that gives me the ick. Like, you're not hard enough to go get the real thing? No.
And honestly, that's kind of weird. Because why would you do that? If you're going to do something like that, like you said, you need to go through the pain.
Go through it. You know what? I tell you what, when I did it, my friend Haley, you know Haley, she was there with me.
Yeah.
I was laying there, full screamed. But Rihanna was playing on the radio, and all I was thinking was, this is for you, girl!
Hey, she was the inspiration. Oh my gosh. No, you know, I respect the hell out of you for doing that, but that could never be me.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Right. But I'm, you know what? I guess this is how they'd be making their money out here. It's that's annoying.
Yeah. So that's top of mind for me.
I love it. So let's dive into our main topic today. As you all know, friendship is emotional labor. You're remembering birthdays, check-ins, navigating someone else's mental health, managing group dynamics.
And doing all of that while managing your own life. And it's beautiful, but also exhausting if it's not balanced.
Especially as adults. We don't have the built-in systems of school or college anymore. Now, friendship is a choice, and that does mean effort.
And it's not just effort, it's invisible effort. Like the mental tab you're keeping on the friend you haven't talked to in a while, or the guilt you feel for forgetting a milestone.
And sometimes that guilt turns into resentment, which leads to friendships fading, not because people don't care, but because they don't know how to express their needs.
So what can we do when the pressure to show up starts to weigh heavy, but we still want meaningful connection? It starts with redefining what being a good friend actually means, because showing up doesn't always mean being physically present at every single thing.
That's so true. Sometimes it looks like sending a meme that made you think of them, or voice texting, which is my personal favorite, over typing. It's the little ICU moments that matter.
And your capacity might shift depending on your season or your era. We always talk about this. And there are times when I'm in full friendship mode, and other times when I have to go inward for a bit. So times where I'm sending a lot of different posts to different people, I'm FaceTiming people. The other night I FaceTimed you, then I called one of my other friends. I was in full friendship mode. And then there are other times where you just need your peace and you're just inward for a little bit. Sometimes you just need to, you talk about having your mental health weekends or your alone weekends, right? Mm-hmm. I talked about having my mental health days that I tried to do. Sometimes you need that as well.
Totally agree. And I feel like sometimes we forget that friendships and relationships have seasons. You can still love people deeply, even if your availability changes. And that's something that I have realized over the years. You know, moving across state lines and being in different cities throughout the last decade or more of my life, I've really had to adjust in that. And I still love these people. You know, I still try and communicate with them as much as I can, but now distance has come into play. I have different things that come up and I'm involved in, you know, other activities, and I have friends that are local here. I think people need to understand that that's just how friendships evolve, and nothing has really changed. So you have to adjust to availability because that's life.
100%. And we also need to normalize, and I've said this before, but just saying where you are currently. And if that sometimes means, hey, I don't have the capacity to hang out right now, but I do love you, and rescheduling or doing whatever you have to do for your own sake and whatever's going on that week or that month or whatever, but following up later, I think that that is that's maturity and that's growth. It's not people-pleasing behavior. It's actually saying, hey, this is where I'm at right now. I know that you will understand it. Let's get together another time.
And I wish more people understood that. You know, I've had friendships where I've said that too. You know, I don't have the capacity, but let's reschedule. And they assume that, like, oh yes, like, let's do it. And then the follow through doesn't happen. And it's really frustrating. But when you do have friendships that are more evolved, you have friendships that have that mutual understanding, you've discussed boundaries, or you've talked about what you are both looking for in a friendship, I feel safe doing this, knowing that it's not going to change the dynamic of the friendship.
Exactly.
So now that we've kind of reframed what showing up looks like, let's talk about how to create some actual space for yourself within your friendships. I feel like this is where a lot of us get stuck, because we don't want to hurt people. But saying yes all the time when you're tired does not help yourself, doesn't help anybody else around you.
Yeah, a boundary that I have had to set lately is I don't have the energy for phone calls after 8 p.m. And part of that has been explicit conversations I've had with some people, and some of it has been literally turning my phone on do not disturb for my own sake so that I don't cross that boundary as well. And I feel like the people who love me, they get it.
I've done the same thing. On the iPhone, they now have the little focus thing. So my focus switches, I think, at 9 o'clock. So after 9 o'clock, you try to reach me, I'll get to you at 6 a.m. or something else in the morning. A lot of my friends do understand that boundary. I think you included too. So we understand where we're at this point. In addition to that, my other one has been being honest when I need emotional space. I'm here for you, but can we talk about this later when I have more to give? I used to have a friend, and I think I probably have told you this too. I used to have a friend that would call or text me to complain every single time. I would pick up the phone. Hello. Oh my gosh, so-and-so is doing this again. Or, oh, I can't stand this person. And I'm over here like, what happened to, hello, hi, how are you? How have you been? Never checking in with me. And it got to the point where her energy was draining me. And she tried to bring me down with her, straight up being like, well, why aren't you responding to this? Why are you not feeling sorry for me? Why are you not doing this? And I'm like, huh? What is going on? Mm-hmm. And I would have to let her know at this point. I'm like, what you're going through is completely valid. What you're feeling is valid, but I don't have the capacity to take on this emotional space. I can't do it. And over time, we ended up becoming more and more distant because I refused to take on emotional burden that, one, did not concern me, but two, she did not prepare me and give me the space to just help her through it. She wanted to complain. And I couldn't do it anymore. And eventually our friendship fizzled out. So I had to just check in with myself and realize that at the end of the day, you have to take care of you and you have to do what's best for you. So if it means having a friendship that ends because they are emotionally draining, then so be it.
I agree 1,000%. I have cut off several friendships for that exact reason. Sometimes it is like what you're saying. It's like they're only being negative and they're not checking in on how you're doing. And it's not like it's a very one-sided relationship. And sometimes it's because there are some people who are just, they are spiraling in some way. And maybe you have tried to be there and have tried to help them, but at some point it's no longer healthy for you and you're not getting anything out of that friendship. And I always think about it as like, there are some people from my past who I was so close with, and we did not have a bad falling out, but I just ultimately distanced myself because I decided, you know, look, I will always love that person and I want nothing for the best for them, but they have gone down a path that is so drastically different from my lifestyle, from where my life is, from where my mental health is, that I can't be there for them in the way that I was. And so, yeah, like you said, it's comes down to being able to have to set those boundaries sometimes, which isn't fun, but is the reality. And I'm also like very emotional about this because I just finished a book 30 minutes before we jumped on this podcast today. And it's called Releasing 10. And it is very much that vibe of trying to help someone. And when do you put yourself first with some of that? And it might end up being the book of the year. It might be the book of the year for me. It was so good. I finished it. It was so good. But I could not agree more is my point there. And boundaries, I feel like, are not just for those hard moments like that when you have to cut people off, but it also provides clarity. Like, hey, I don't have the bandwidth to plan the trip, but I'm happy to show up. Or I don't have bandwidth to organize this thing, but if you want to, I'm down to go. I just really can't be that person today.
Yeah, I totally agree. And honestly, we can't expect people to respect needs that we have not voiced. You know, your real friends want to support you, but they just need direction. So I think it is important to voice your needs, voice those boundaries, exactly what you expect in a friendship, because without doing that, you can't work on something that you don't know anything about.
Yeah. So what happens when we've done all that and we're still feeling drained? Let's talk about a friendship reset. Sometimes it's not about capacity, it's about compatibility. Maybe you've outgrown the dynamic and that's totally okay.
We are allowed to shift our friendships and it does not necessarily mean cutting people off. Sometimes it's just adjusting the level of access or redefining what the relationship looks like now. I wasn't going to say anything, but I have experienced this very recently. In just witnessing that across friendship dynamics. And it's been interesting to see how that has played out. But it also makes me respect everybody in that space a little bit more because they are understanding what the boundary that they have and what they want to set and knowing that things are going to shift and that's just life. That's okay.
Yeah. Have you ever had a moment where you realized you were keeping a friendship alive out of habit instead of joy?
Ooh. Yeah. Yes. And then, yeah, it's not really that spicy. But when I finally gave myself permission to let that dynamic change, I felt a lot lighter. I needed to. So in another friendship, there were some tough conversations that had to happen. And as a result, there were new boundaries that were established because the dynamic we once had was no longer the same. And no matter what, it had to be changed. This happened a while ago, where we had to have some, you know, tough conversations about, you know, what we expected out of friendship and what that looked like for us. We still stay connected and I hear from this person every once in a while, but we had to just shift things because of different priorities and things that happened. It's okay. It happens.
Yeah. It's okay to pause friendships and let them fade. And it's okay to want more depth than maybe what you're getting out of a friendship as well. And you and I have talked about this a lot and some on the podcast. It's hard for me to let things fade. It's hard for me to do that. And sometimes I think even knowing yourself and you know, what is going on in your head, and what are you, maybe what things are you holding on to that maybe it's time for you to let go, is an important thing, I think, for of self-awareness, something I have to often reflect on.
I 100% agree with you. At the end of the day, we all deserve friendships that fill us, not just the ones that we're used to. We do deserve friendships that fill our cup, that are there for us, lift us up, cheering us on in our moments. And if you find yourself in friendships that are draining, friendships that you feel like you're competing, friendships that you feel like that you're not getting supported, you know, we've talked about this before. Those are not the friendships for you. And you have to know and be strong within yourself to let it go, to move on, to set up that boundary, whether you are distancing yourself or fully cutting them off. You deserve the very best for friends. Everybody deserves good friends.
1000% agree. I was going to add more, but I thought, nope, I don't think I could say it better. That was great. okay, now that we've all done an emotional inventory of our friendships, let's switch it up and get into one of our favorite games.
What's the ick? Y'all know the drill. Jess, what is your ick this week?
Okay, speaking of friends, so I am on friendship apps. I'm on Bumble BFF, and I'm doing great, guys, okay? I went on a friend date last week. It was so great, and I'm chatting with other people, making new plans for this weekend. I'm putting myself up there. But I got a new ick. Couples profiles on Bumble BFF. Tell me why you and your partner created a joint profile to make friends. This gives me the ick so bad because it's giving, I can't go anywhere without my significant other, which is an ick on its own. I'm so sorry, that is an ick on its own. You should have your own life, your own friends. And yes, you can have couples friends, but to put it on this, that's not what this app is for. This app is not for meeting other couples. It's for making friends on this side of the app, at least. It's weird behavior. It's reminding me of when people, like the most toxic couple you've ever met back in the day, created a joint Facebook account. You know what I mean? What are we doing? What are we doing? Now we're on Bumble BFF trying to meet people together. Blah! It just gives me the ick. I can't.
That is such a valid ick. And you know, those Facebook profiles of those people still exist today. I'm pretty sure that I'm friends with a couple's profile on Facebook. And I don't know if it's like, if it's a millennial thing or what, but why though? Why do you feel the need that y'all couldn't have separate accounts?
Yeah. It's giving, I need to ask permission to hang out with you this weekend from my man. It's giving, we sit on the same side of the table at the restaurant. It's giving so much lack of independence. It bothers me so much.
You know, I wasn't going to spill this kind of like spicy tea, but I did have an ex friend who used to have to ask for permission, and yikes, not good at all. And I agree. The whole app thing is very icky to me because what are you doing on there? You're not, are you really looking for friends or are you looking for a third? I don't like that.
Could be. But there's other apps for that. Go use the swinger apps. You don't need to be here for that.
I know, but unfortunately, even when I was swiping through the dating apps too, I saw couples on there all the time. And I'm like, what are we doing? Yes, there were couples profiles on the date, Bumble or Hinge. And I'm like,
I mean, if they're going to even, first of all, allow that on the apps, then they should have that as a preference option. Like if you're in the dating scene, then it's a preference option, but don't, like, that's
fine.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think that's what irritated me is that obviously my preference, I selected my preference
yeah.
of men, and I'm swiping through the men, and then I see a couple's profile. I'm like, I didn't ask for this. That's not, like you said, there are apps for that. Like, you don't need to be on here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know what I mean? So anyway.
I will also say one of the girls that she said in her profile, she's interested in meeting friends and couple friends, which like, that's fine, but it was just her profile. And we were chatting and she did ask for the meetup. Did you want to do a couples get together or just one-on-one? And I was like, sorry, I really just want one-on-one. I love my husband, but he's not out here trying to make friends or he'd be on the apps too. I'm trying to make friends. He's got his friends. Yeah, no, I don't, I'm good.
Yeah. And that's honestly valid. That's good because who knows?
Yeah. What's your ick?
Right now, I have icks every week. But this ick, people who judge what you're eating. Let me explain. I was at a dinner and I was sitting next to somebody and they are on their fitness journey. One, I respect it. I respect the hell of anybody. I've gone through my fitness journey. I'm still on it. I still do my thing. Mm-hmm. What frustrates me is I don't know how to describe this, but I think her mindset around food and labeling food as good and bad and saying things like, well, I'm trying to be good, or, oh, I can't have that. It's not good. Or, you know, I'm really
your food about the food on your plate.
Yeah. Food on the table. And I'm like, we had, you know, we're sharing appetizers and things. And she's like, no, I can't have that. That's not good. Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm eating, because guess what? It's all about balance. And we've talked about this on the podcast. It's all about balance. You take care of yourself. You eat what you want. You add what you need. You know your body better than anybody else. And I can respect where she's at. However, that to me is a toxic mindset around food, labeling it as good and bad. There's not a thing. And I don't appreciate that. And then, of course, when that food is on the table and you're looking around and judging other people, I have an issue with that. You do you. I respect your journey. Glad you're doing it, but don't talk shit about the food that's on my plate or anybody else's plate because I had to be nice. I could have been mean. I could have been meaner, but I wasn't. I kept it respectful and I just looked at her and I said, all right.
It would have been different if she had said, oh, I'm actually trying to keep under X calorie count and I'm right here today, so now I can't. Then like that's, but to say like, I'm trying to be good and I can't have what's bad when you're eating that, you know, it's like
100%
giving, what do they call it? Icking someone's yum or something like that. Like that's what it reminds me of, which I just hate when people do that in general, but especially don't do it about food. Come on, people.
That was my whole issue. And I was like, okay, I'm not with this. Again, do what you do. I'm proud of you for being on a fitness journey. But when it comes to talking about other people's foods and like labeling foods, I'm not with it. Sorry. You can argue with your mama about it.
It's like if anybody says, are you going to eat all of that?
Ooh, fist up. Because what?
Why? How dare you ask me that? I'm a grown-ass woman. You think I don't know what I'm going to eat or not? Why is this your business? Back off. Ew.
No, I would fight somebody for that. So anyway, with all that being said, let's close this out, my friend. It's time for our last drop of tea for the day.
You can love your people and still protect your peace. You don't have to overextend yourself to prove you care. And sometimes being a good friend means setting boundaries so you can keep showing up in the long run.
And friendships should feel safe to evolve. You don't need to pour from an empty cup. The right friends will celebrate your boundaries. They understand that, of course. If it's one-sided or draining, it's okay to let it shift or completely cut it off. You deserve connections that feel safe, mutual, and supportive.
Let the friendship be soft. Let it be mutual. Let it be enough. Even when you're not doing the most.
If this episode spoke to you, send it to the friend who just gets it and tag us at Sisterhood Tea Party when you listen.
And please take 10 seconds to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, and leave us a quick 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. It really helps us grow and connect with others like you.
Take care, friends. We'll see you next week.